Now turn again with me, please, to our Bible reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. And we're going to take the words of verse 28 as our text, not only for today, but I hope also as our motto text for the year that lies ahead. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21 and verse 28. We read, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." If you'd ask me what is the actual text, I would say the middle part of the text. Look up and lift up your heads. In Luke 21, the Saviour gave one of the most important prophetical discourses in the New Testament scriptures. And he focused in upon the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the beautiful temple that was the focus of Jewish worship in Judea and throughout Palestine. It was a pivotal point, I think, in sacred history, in secular history, because the destruction of Jerusalem happened in AD 70. Historians tell us about the siege in AD 70, when the Roman army, led by the future emperor Titus and Tiberius Julius Alexander, second in command, they besieged the city and they conquered the city of Jerusalem. It lasted for about 5 months. Not only was Jerusalem destroyed, but Israel as a nation, Judea, was destroyed. And hundreds and thousands were put to death. I was reading of something of the history of it. They crucified so many Jews at that time, they ran out of wood for the crucifixion. The cruelty inflicted upon the nation itself. I wouldn't even go into the details here in such a mixed service. Many biblical commentators regard the destruction of Jerusalem as the beginning of the end, and yet a rehearsal of the end that is yet to be. It's just a faint representation, brethren and sisters, because what happened there in AD 70 is just a faint representation of what's going to happen in the days that lie ahead when the trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for his second advent. For he's coming back. And the next greatest event in the calendar of God is the second coming of our blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we prepare our hearts for 2022, we know one thing for certain, that the time of Christ's second coming is getting closer. Every day his coming is getting closer. And those of us who are saved in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be looking more carefully at the signs that tell us that Jesus is coming back. And as we read those signs, then what should we do? Well, I think it's beyond our purpose today, but I'd have to say also it's beyond my capacity today to give you a full explanation or exposition of all of this that is contained in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. We have here one of the deepest passages, I think, in the Gospels itself. So I would not pretend or profess to understand every nuance that is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. But I take great heart and I take great encouragement from the words of the Lord Jesus as the day of his approach draws nearer. Because his words are applicable. If you and I are not the end time generation, his words are still applicable. And I tell you why. Because he's still coming back. And one day he's going to call for you and I. If not in the air, he's going to call for us in the valley of the shadow. And he's coming back for us. And that date is set, brethren and sisters. And it could be 2022. That God has put in his divine decree as the time in which your pilgrimage and my pilgrimage comes to an end and he comes to call us home and take us back to glory. So before the day of the Lord dawns, whether it be in the clouds or whether it be in the valley of the shadow, these words of Christ, I think they ring in our ear. I think they are a word from the Lord for us as we step over the threshold of the new year. Luke 21:28, easily remembered. And just those lovely words, look up and lift up your heads. Look up and lift up your heads. I think there's many Christians, as they close the old year after the Christmas holiday season and as they go into the new year, they're not looking up. Their heads are hanging down. And they're full of apprehension, and they're full of foreboding, and they're full of dread. And you know, I get that, and I understand that. Very, very much so indeed. But here's a word to encourage our hearts. If this was the word Jesus gave to the early disciples before the siege and destruction of Jerusalem, it's a word for you and I today. Instead of looking down, lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When the church hears the signal that the Master's coming back, she no longer stoops, but she stands up straight. And she lifts her head and she looks up with assurance, knowing Jesus is coming back. He's not going to leave us here, but he's coming back to take us home to glory and to that place of many mansions. So in our time around the Word of God today, we're going to examine with you just what the Saviour meant when he told his disciples, how do we face the future? How do we face the end time? How do we face all of the signs that tell us that Jesus is coming back? This is how we do it, just simply by looking up. Lift up your head today and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So firstly, let's consider with you, what are the things of which Jesus referred to? At the start of verse 28, he said, when these things begin to come to pass. What are all of those things that are referenced here? So, according to the context of chapter 21, this is a reference to his second advent. We have only finished remembering his first advent, but his second advent is ahead of us. He's coming back. And these signs that Jesus spoke of here to the disciples, they were all future events. Some of them, I believe, were very imminent for them. But they're all future events. And they were some of the most cosmic, cataclysmic events recorded ever in history. And what do you do when the stars are falling from the sky? What do you do when nations roar one against the other? What do you do as a little fledgling church in the midst of all of that, as all time comes to an end and the greatest size is brought to pass? What do? You look up. You look up. Dr. Andrew Bonner, the famous Scottish preacher of a bygone generation, he preached a famous sermon on this text, and in it he alphabetically laid out some of the signs that would happen before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of them are straight out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, but as he rightly pointed out, they're all scattered right throughout the New Testament scriptures. I would not go into all of them with you today, because he gave us a whole list of them, but let me just mention some of them to you. One of those signs of a second coming is a rise of anti-Christianity. Anti-Christianity. Sometimes, because we come from a Reformed Protestant background, we look at the rise of Antichrist and we see the power of popery and the papacy. And of course that is absolutely true, because we still hold that the papacy is the very embodiment of the system of Antichrist itself. But of course there's more anti-Christianity than popery in the world, and the papacy in the world. The world is full of doctrine that is against the things of God. We have a false Christianity today, an apostate Christianity abroad in our land that teaches error concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that subverts even the very work of Christ in his mediatorial offices. And we have a world that follows it and says, we will not have this man to rule over us. I think of all of those great isms that are against the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that is an ism is against the Lord Jesus Christ. And they all line up today. And as we look out and we see all of these forces that are against us, and we're just a little fledgling work here on the road, on this Money Dyer Road, and all, I think of the many thousands of little congregations that will gather today, scattered hither and thither right across the world. What does Jesus say to his church? Look up. Look up. As we think of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the greatest signs will be unbelief and disbelief. The professing, and that's how I couch it today, the professing Christian will say, my Lord delays his coming. And the Lord Jesus spoke of that apostate part of the church, didn't he? In that parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. They all professed to be part of that body that was waiting for the bridegroom to come, but part of it was just nominal, outward, empty profession, nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. They said, my Lord delays his coming. Then we have the world that says, where is the promise of his coming? People laugh today when you tell them, Jesus is coming back. That's one of the signs of Luke chapter 21. Error. Remember when our first parents in the Garden of Eden believed the lie of Satan and they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Well, man's still doing that today. Man is still believing the lie of Satan. And of course, the starting place for all of this is, well, we love knowledge. We want to know more. That was how Satan deceived Adam and Eve. If you don't eat of the fruit of the tree, you'll not be as wise as you want to be. And of course, men no longer take the Bible as their benchmark, as their baseline starting off for knowledge. This is true knowledge in the Word of God. And everything that we believe should be based upon it in the Word of the living God. But man has long since passed that place today. We see today in the world, evil energized. I was amazed when I read that statement of Bonner, the energy of evil. And as the Lord's return comes nearer and nearer, we see Satan energized. He has a little season. He has a little time. And he knows how to use his time and to compress his energy into that time to cause mayhem and to, in the hearts and lives of multitudes, raise the standard against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we see in the press the energy of Satan. We see on the public platform the energy of Satan. We see in Parliament the energy of Satan. In the laws that are passed. Over the Christmas period, I took note of it, and I mentioned it to Linda just over the weekend. I thought it was so ironic. There was a litter of little pups left at the side of the road. Now, that's horrendous. No one is justifying that. But there was columns written about that litter of pups, and one of them died. One of them died from last March, when abortion has been instituted in Northern Ireland, legalized, the energy of evil in Northern Ireland, 2,000 babies have died. It doesn't get a mention. Bonner mentioned something that's close to my own heart. As the Lord Jesus comes back toward the last days, we're going to see renewed efforts in Christian missions. I'm glad to be a part of that. I'm glad you're a part of that. Over the past few weeks, we've had the privilege of seeing of what God is doing in young lives in East Africa, what God is doing in young lives even in Pakistan. And we play a little part in that, just a little part, but a part in it. There is a new energy in mission today. God has opened up doors that were never opened up to us before. And as the Lord's return draws near, Jesus said the gospel is to be preached to all nations. The Jew is to be sought out. I'm glad even in our own mission board, we have put a renewed emphasis on supporting evangelization and gospel ministry amongst the Jewish people. And we pray for the Jew. And we pray for the work of the gospel amongst the Jewish nation. But the Bible is not confined to one nation. There is no boundaries in mission work today. So the gospel goes into all nations, all over the world once again. And I don't think there has been any time from apostolic days until this day whereby in more nations the name of Christ is being made known. What does that tell us? Jesus is coming back. He's gathering in his people. He's gathering in his redeemed from all of the nations of the world. And not one of them, brethren and sisters, are going to be left behind. They're all going to be safely garnered and gathered in. He's coming back. We read Luke chapter 21. Jesus warned about wars. But that's not the end. He never said that was the end. That's only the beginning. We see of rumours of wars even today. We see Russia posturing along the borders of Ukraine. We see the West trying to push back the Russian efforts. We see China in Taiwan. We see all of these flashpoints. We see North Korea and the dictatorship there preparing nuclear missiles. We see Iran getting a stock of nuclear missiles and saying that they're going to blast Israel into the Mediterranean. All over the world, there's rumours of wars. But Jesus said that's not the end, but it's a sign I'm coming back. When we see all of these things, what are we meant to do? There's many more of them. But when we see all of these things, what are we meant to do? Don't look down. Look up. Look up. Notice where we are to look. It's very clearly given to us here. We're to lift up our head and we're to lift up our eyes heavenward and homeward. Those opening words that we sang today from that lovely psalm, the metrical version says, I to the hills will lift mine eyes from whence doth come mine aid. We're lifting our eyes away from all of the things that are happening round about us. We're lifting our eyes to the one alone who can give us our aid. We're not to look back. Don't be looking back into 21. We are to look upwards and we're to look to him. We're not to look within. If you look within, what will happen? Well, it'll just be like Paul of old. I'll tell you what will happen when you look within. You will discover that within me there dwelleth no good thing. And you will lament the weakness of your own life and of your own strength and of your own ability. Where are we to look? We're just to look to God alone. He's the one and only deliverer. When we look to him, something happens. Our fear and forebodings subside. It's amazing to think that God says in his word, I have a plan for your life, and all things work together for good that I'm doing in your life, for you and for my glory. That's a great verse to go in and give people. different verse when you have to apply it to your own heart and life. Whatever I am doing, it is for your good and my glory. Remember that this year. And when we do remember that, no matter what dark providence God brings across your pathway, just remember, it's for my good. It's for His glory. And when we properly understand that truth, then the Bible tells us, 1 John 4 and 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Look up today, believer. Because whatever is on your horizon, He planned it for you. When you look to Him, your sorrows are sanctified. God never promised that you wouldn't have sorrows. And I have no doubt for all of us in 2022, there will be our own share, our own portion of sorrows. And there's no Christian can ever reach the celestial land without experiencing sorrow of heart. We read in Psalm 90, even if by reason of strength our days are 80 years, yet is there strength, labour and sorrow. Even our very strongest days, the Bible says, are labour and sorrow. But though we are born to sorrow, it is God's grace that sanctifies our sorrows and uses them to make us more like Him. When we look to Him, light is cast in our darkness. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. If there's darkness over your soul today, what does it tell me? You're not looking to Him. Look to Him. I read yesterday, it struck my heart again, how there was darkness over all the face of the deep, Genesis chapter 1. And what happened? The Spirit of God moved and He gave light. And when God moves in our heart, He gives light. He causes us to see in the darkness. I'm not saying we're not going to have dark times throughout this new year as we had in the old year. I'm sure we will have those times of darkness. But we're still to look to Him. As we look to Him, He promises us peace. Peace in our heart. John 16:33. Remember those great words of Jesus at the end of what is known as the Paschal Discourse. He's about to leave His disciples. He's about to go and die for them. And what has He said to them? Be of good cheer. He's going to Calvary. And He tells them, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world, and in me ye might have peace. You have your crosses this year. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and in me ye can have peace. As we look up to Him, He gives us courage. Courage even to the faint. Maybe you're feeling faint today, spiritually speaking. Feeling faint. There's a passage that God gave to us as a family many years ago in Isaiah 40:29-31. And it just simply says there, He giveth power to the faint, and to those that have no might He increaseth strength. Every verse, verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary. But verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Look to Him today, and you'll not faint. Look up in faith today and put your faith in His word. Put your faith in His word. Who else can we go to? Who else is the word that we can trust in? Politicians come at election times and they say, trust me. When a politician says that to you, you better prick up your ears. Trust me. Because you'll discover up ahead, they can't even trust themselves. Even with the best intentions, circumstances can bulldoze it all away just in a few short moments. But God's word, we read today, it never passes away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Has he given you a word for the new year? Look up, lift up your heads. That's his word. All other things might pass away this year, but his word will not pass away. You can hold on to it. Keep looking to God in prayer. Suddenly the answer will come. James Smith, when he preached in this sermon, he put it like this. He said, do not look at your sin, it will discourage you. Do not look at yourself, it will distress you. Do not look at Satan, he will bewilder you. Do not look to men, they will disappoint you. Do not look at your trials, they will deject you. But do as the church did. Look up till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. Lamentations 3 and verse 50. Keep looking to God in prayer, brethren and sisters, until God looks down in mercy upon you and gives you the answer. We're going to close because the text reminds us, thirdly, that we're to look up, lift up our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh. The things here referred to, remember, point us forward to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, something dramatic is going to happen. The Bible tells us that the dead are going to be raised. Those who die in Christ are going to be raised first. Soul and body is going to come together. And it's going to be raised newness of life. Now, when the Bible speaks about redemption, it teaches us that Jesus finished his redeeming work at Calvary. But the ultimate application of it will not be until his second coming. Because he died not only for our souls, he died for our bodies. And when he's coming back, he's going to raise these bodies of ours perfectly. And they're going to be raised so that they can inhabit eternity. This is, I think, what is spoken of here. Your redemption draweth nigh. And the Saviour concluded with the parable of the fig tree. And what did he teach? Well, from this he taught, when you see the bud on the fig tree, know that summer is coming. So when you see all of these signs, know that I am coming. But when you see the bud on the fig tree, know that summer is coming. Do you know summer never comes without a fight? Summer has to fight the winter. All the frosts, all the snow, all the storms, all the gales. The fig tree has to fight every one of them. Has to fight the late springs. Has to fight all that goes with it. But summer has always come. And summer only comes after a battle. And that tells us, it tells us perfectly, redemption draweth nigh. Deliverance will come. Let me encourage you today, dear Christian. You might be battling with a whole lot of things today, but look for the little buds, the little signs that tell us that the answer is on the way. But what of you who are here unsaved? Has God a word for you? Well, Jesus is coming back. That's the whole teaching of Luke's Gospel chapter 21. As Christians, in the light of his sure and certain coming and all of the uncertainties that go with it, what does the Bible teach us that we are to do? We're to lift up our heads and we're to look up. But what does it mean for you? I'll tell you what it means for you today. Judgment is drawing near. Every day is bringing you to judgment. Charles Wesley, when he penned that lovely hymn, Writing of the Second Coming, he said, every eye shall now behold him, robed in dreadful majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree, deeply wailing, shall the true Messiah see. Every island, sea and mountain, heaven and earth shall flee away. All who hate him must, confounded, hear the trumpet proclaim the day. Come to judgment. Come to judgment. Come away. What does the signs of his coming say for the unconverted? Every nation, every island, every tongue. Jesus says, I'm coming. And I'm coming to usher in the judgment. What a thought. The signs tell us the church, the bridegroom tarrieth, but he's coming. The signs tell us, and tell you as the unconverted, be prepared for his coming. For if he came and found you as you are today, you would stand before him in judgment and be condemned for all eternity. All the signs tell us he's coming back. I'm glad today that the invitation is not to judgment. The invitation today is to salvation. Jesus invites you to come and be saved. What a way to start the new year, by turning from your sin and turning to God and trusting in God's Son for salvation. The hymn reminds us the second coming has come to judgment, but today the invitation has come to Christ for salvation. This is our text for 2022. What an encouragement it is. Luke 21:28. Don't let your head hang down as you enter into the new year. Lift up your head, Jesus said. Lift up your head. And look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. May the Lord bless his word today to all of our hearts and all of our lives. We're going to take time today to sing at least some verses from our closing hymn. Maybe we'll sing the first four verses of this lovely hymn. 7-9. And